And we're in John chapter 18. Let's pray. Father, we just want to ask tonight as we open up your word that this would be a time of blessing and that you would help us all as we go through this passage of scripture. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and read from John chapter 18, verse 28, through the end of the chapter. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto them, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. We may get into chapter 19 tonight also, but for now we will not read through that right now. Right now, we're somewhere in the night. We don't know exactly what time it is right now, but it's nighttime. We're in the middle of the night somewhere. Or maybe breaking to the wee hours of the morning. Jesus has been captured, if you will, in the garden by the chief priests' crowd that they sent out, a band of a whole pile of people. He's been led to the chief priests. In verse 28, to Pilate. So verse 28 is where we begin. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be delivered, but that they might eat the Passover. It was the day, today, when this situation took place, it was the day of the Passover. It was the day that they were going to eat the Passover. Jesus died as our Passover on Passover Day. The Jews had a rigorous schedule that they needed to keep to stay clean. All sorts of things that God had given to them in the Old Testament, in the law, things that they couldn't could and couldn't do to be clean. And for them, it was very important to the Jews to be clean, because if they touched anything or did anything or anything happened to them that would defile them, they had to be unclean until the even most of the time. Sometimes I believe it was longer than till the even. But most of the time they were unclean until evening. Then they had to take a bath, and then they were clean. Ceremonial law. It being early in the morning right now, anything that the Jews would do right now that would upset their cleanliness, according to the law, and according to anything that they added to the law, which they had piles and piles and piles of other stuff that they were keeping along with the ceremonial things God had given them, were going to prevent them from eating the Passover that day, because they were going to be unclean until the evening. I do not know, actually, what was wrong with them entering the Hall of Judgment, or why that would defile them. If anyone here does know the answer to that, go ahead and say. I kind of suspect, in just thinking about it for a minute, I kind of suspect that there probably wasn't anything about it that actually made them unclean. But they probably had some little scruples about something that was connected with the judgment hall that they put into a doctrinal form that made it unclean for them to be in there. So they bring this man to Pilate, to the judgment hall, but they wouldn't go in. They stand outside, because they wanted to eat the Passover that day. Fact of the matter is, they missed it. They all missed it. Because that was the day that the Passover was sacrificed forever. And they rejected it. Does anybody remember what the Passover of the Old Testament was supposed to represent? Who sent that angel of death? You don't know? Came straight out of heaven from God. The scripture doesn't specifically specify that, but that's the place where the angels live. And God was the one judging Egypt. Jesus Christ saves us from God, if you will. Some people don't understand that. But you know, we've got the devil over here fighting against us, we've got our flesh fighting against us, and we've got our sin fighting against us. And we think Jesus saves us from these things. But actually, Jesus saves us from the wrath of God that is revealed against sin. The only person that we ought to actually fear is God, because he has power not only to kill the body, but after the body is dead, he has power to judge and condemn the soul and send it to hell forever. Jesus saves us from the wrath of God because he paid the price of not delivering us from a bad situation, but of taking our sin away. And in order for us to stand before God uncondemned, we had to be sinless. None of us could do that, because we already sinned. So the only way that this could happen is for the sin that we had committed to be eradicated, cleaned up, removed, gotten rid of. So Jesus did this for us. Every person in this room that's going to heaven is going to heaven on one simple basis, because they have entered into the Lord Jesus Christ, and sitting inside of the Savior, they are protected from judgment. When the Passover was given in the Old Testament, the Israelites had to go into their house. They had to kill a lamb, representation of Christ. They had to take the blood that they got from the lamb, and they had to go back out of the house, and they had to put it on the doorposts. Then they closed the door, and they went inside, and they stayed in the house through the night while God's judgment passed. It was what the Passover was. Now, if you had to be in the house with blood on the door in order to escape God's judgment, how many of you guys think that they should have been able to figure out that the people inside the house were not getting free from the judgment of God by their own holiness? If they had been able to escape God's judgment by their own holiness, why did they have to have a sacrifice? Why did they have to have the blood on the door? And why did they have to stay inside the protected house? And here they are here, worrying about being clean so that they might eat the Passover. They had missed everything. They had missed the whole subject. The very fact that they were going to eat the Passover was an indication of their uncleanness. And their uncleanness was, well, let's see here. Let's say we take the Son of God, who's never committed a sin, who's never done a wrong thing, and let's say we condemn him. Let's say we scream at him. Let's say we falsely accuse him. Let's say we're jealous about him. Let's say we break every one of God's Ten Commandments in dealing with him, haul him to Pilate and ask for him to be killed. And we can still eat the Passover for that. But we can't go into the judgment hall. This is why so many people are religious, but not saved. Because it is so easy to keep the little rules we make for ourselves and go do anything we want to with the rest of our lives. It was so easy for the Jews to stand outside the door that morning instead of going in. But they could still kill the Son of God whom they hated. And they were regarded as the best people in the land. They were the uppity ups. They were the ones that people worshiped. They were the ones who controlled the religion. They were the ones who they led the people. And they were absolutely, totally mistaken on everything that they thought and believed. That's false religion. Anyway, verse 29. Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" Now you know the fact of the matter is, the Gospel of John doesn't tell us all the details. You've got to read all the Gospels to get all the details connected with this story. But the Gospel of John doesn't tell all the details about what they said to Pilate. But the fact of the matter is, they said so little to Pilate as should have made any person on earth feel absolutely ridiculous for being there that day, condemning him. A few of them decided that they would wager a couple accusations against him. But according to the scriptures, their witness didn't agree together. Now, if you have people witnessing in court against a person and they can't say the same thing, their witness is automatically discredited. You expect to have a clear, testimony from the witnesses that everybody says the same thing. You want the story straight. But here's what they said when Pilate first walks out to them. If he were not a criminal, that's what malefactor means, criminal. If he were not a criminal, we would not have delivered him unto you. Pilate didn't ask if he was a criminal or not. He asked what he had done. Didn't have anything to say about what he had done. He had healed people. The Jews were following him, and the Romans were going to come and take away their nation. If they let this man alone, the whole world was going to go after him. What had he done? He had taken their place. That's what he had done. That was why they hated him. And because he had spoken against their sin, that was another reason they hated him. But you can't stand up and witness in court that you don't like him because you're jealous. And you can't stand up and witness that he spoke against your sins because you aren't supposed to have sins. The guy you're bringing to court is the one who's supposed to have the sins. So they didn't have anything to say. Ask this when you go out gospel. When you go out preaching the gospel, ask this to people who refuse to accept Jesus. Ask them what they have against him, why they won't accept him. What do you have against him? Ask them. Yes. They had that attitude for sure.
They didn't have some jealousy, as you're saying. They had no solid accusation. So these were the righteous of the land. Why are you questioning us? Our lineage goes way back as the holy man around here. That alone is enough to make our witness true regardless of what we say.
Yes.
Did it basically because the Jews were such problems for the Romans for years. The Jews were such a problem for the Romans that he didn't want another revolt and uprising. He just swept them under the rug and gave them what they wanted. But legally, there's no case.
Basically, that's what he said. When we get to the end of the chapter, that's what we find him. Actually, it is... It's not the end of this chapter. It's since the next chapter, I believe, that he ends up giving Jesus over to the Jews and saying, you know, I'm clean. I can't find anything wrong with him. But then the first thing that he tells them here in verse 31, when they said, if he were not a criminal, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. That's what he told the Jews to do with him whatever needed to be done. He didn't even want to hear the case. At the very beginning, he didn't even want to take the case. But the Jews would not accept that because the Jews were under somebody else's authority at that time. They were not governing themselves. And under the laws that they were under, they did not have permission to put anybody to death. And in their estimation, that was the judgment that Jesus had coming. He didn't need to be beaten. He didn't need to be put in prison. He didn't need to have a fine. He needed to be put to death. And they didn't have the authority to do that. So when Pilate told them, judge him according to your law, the Jews' response is, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. In other words, that's the judgment they expected him to get, and they couldn't do it. Right. Verse 32 then, so the Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put a man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. I'm not sure exactly how that fits this story. I'm not sure exactly what all is meant by that, so I'm just going to skip over that verse. Oh, okay, I see. Yep, you're probably right then. That's probably it. So Pilate, verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Now Jesus did not say a whole lot during this whole ordeal of this trial. He didn't say a whole lot. But there's a few things recorded that he did say. In verse 34, it says, Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? What was that statement? Why did Jesus ask Pilate this? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Now, I don't know exactly what Jesus was trying to pull out of Pilate when he asked him a question back. But I suspect that it was nothing more nor less than the way Jesus always handled everything. When anybody ever tried to ask him about his position, he always evaded the answer. By asking Pilate a question, instead of saying yes, he got out of having to state the answer that yes, he was the king of the Jews. You find throughout Jesus' entire life, he was always moving that direction, though sometimes he did come out and say things about himself. He did make claims. His claims were few and far between. He did not go around tooting his honors or telling people who he was. So, when Pilate returns the answer then Jesus answered in verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. This was where Jesus was coming from. If I was the king of the Jews, I would be king. Jesus didn't have a lack of power to accomplish the things he wanted to do. But what he was going to do to be king of the Jews wasn't yet. The time hadn't come yet. Still hasn't come yet. He's still coming back. He's still going to sit in Jerusalem. He's still going to sit on the throne of David. He's still the king of the Jews, and he's going to reign physically on this earth when he comes back. But the time wasn't yet. So he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. We already in depth covered all that I'm going to cover on that verse when we were back in the earlier part of this chapter on our position with the kingdoms of this world. And so I'm not going to go into that again tonight. I do believe that is one of the accusations that the Jews brought against him, but I don't think that it is recorded in the Gospel of John. I think it's recorded in one of the other Gospels. I think that was one of the accusations that they brought against him during at least a part of the trial, somewhere in the trial. I believe they brought that accusation against him that he made himself a king. Because he made himself a king, Pilate couldn't be Caesar's friend if he left Jesus alive. But according to the way this chapter here is written, it would appear like this is the very beginning of the trial, and there's not much information out at all yet. So whether or not they would have said that to him by that point or not, I don't know anything. But then, Jesus does finally answer the question in verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? That's a big question. So Jesus first, he finally admits to Pilate that yes, he is a king. That's the reason he was born. That's the reason he came into the world. It's funny. There's a lot in that statement. How many of you guys came into the world to accomplish something? Where were you before you came? Jesus came into the world. He wasn't born and then had a life to live because he became a person. He came into the world because he had been living for many billions of years. He said it here. Pilate probably didn't even catch it, but he said it. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Now when Pilate ends up asking, what is truth? He doesn't wait for an answer. He didn't probably want to honestly hear it. But he goes out to the Jews in verse 38. When he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Now the fact of the matter is, generally speaking in governments, unless you are under a communist government, generally speaking, you have freedom to believe personal things about yourself. It's when you start causing other people trouble that you fall under the jurisdiction of the law, and you get in trouble. If I want to believe that I am the president of the United States, he doesn't care. The president doesn't care. The policemen don't care. The U.S. Army doesn't care. Nobody cares if I believe I am the president of the United States until I go to Washington, D.C. and try to get into the White House. Okay. Now, as soon as I do that, I'm in trouble. But Jesus hadn't done that. Who had he dethroned? Whose position had he tried to take? Whose authority had he usurped? Except when he walked into the temple and cleansed it twice. They were mad about that too. But the fact of the matter is, nobody on earth owned that temple. That was the temple of God. Any prophet from the beginning of Jewish history would have done something like that under the authority of God. When Jesus did that, they didn't immediately get him in trouble for it. They asked him on whose authority he did it. But he had no reason to be in court before Pilate. Pilate didn't care if he thought he was a king. All that meant was he was somewhat mental in Pilate's mind. So Pilate, he's tired. They got him out of bed early. He wasn't supposed to be up judging a case right now that the Jews felt was an emergency. He doesn't want to deal with the situation. He's sick of the way the Jews handle things. He just wants out of the situation. And so he's going to try a little bit of politics here, if you will, with his Jew friends. "Ye have a custom," he says, "that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" It doesn't matter at this point how many bad things Jesus had done. It doesn't matter if he should have been there on trial. It doesn't matter if he was condemned. Barabbas had robbed. He had been caught. He had been apprehended. He was in custody. And they wanted him released. So if all those things had been true about Jesus, they could have just as easily released him. And seeing as how there really wasn't anything to say against him, and it was very iffy if they could condemn him for anything, it would have been the easiest thing to do. It fell on a perfect day. Because it was the Passover. And they normally released a prisoner on the Passover. I don't know where they got that from. It's not in the Old Testament at all. But it was perhaps their personal way of being generous. But you notice that then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." We don't know who Barabbas was. But one thing that we do know was that they had already decided that he was the man that was getting released that day. And he was there because he was a robber. Why do we release the robber and keep the Son of God there? Then Pilate, chapter 19, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto him, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. That's all the further I'll read right now. I'm not going to cover all these verses in the beginning of this chapter. We know the story altogether too well. Every detail of it, everything that they did against Jesus, the way he was treated, the crown, the robe, the accusations. We're just going to skip over all those verses and we're going to go down to verse 7. When the Jews answered, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Anybody know how you do that? How do you make yourself the Son of God?
is it even possible?
Well, then how did he do it? Well, he made a claim. But again, this is really petty and ridiculous, and it was not the reason that they had him before Pilate. It was one of the things that they could pull together to get a half an accusation against him. But again, if I stand up here and say I'm the Son of God, what if I'm not? What if I'm lying? The fact of the matter is, I am. I see sons of God sitting all over this room. Now we here in this room aren't sons of God like Jesus was, because he was eternally the Son of God, forever and ever and ever. He was the Son of God, with God, was God. But we, through Christ, have been made the Son of God. Anyone here who's a Christian? And if I went out on the streets of Rhinelander and started telling everybody tomorrow that I'm the Son of God, whether or not they believed me or liked me or not, they wouldn't take me to court for saying it. And that wasn't why Jesus was here before Pilate. But something in the ungodly, sometimes the ungodly, the ones who care nothing about God, have a little bit more sense than the people who claim to be God's people. And this statement that they made to Pilate made Pilate scared. Now, I can't tell you, because it's in different Gospels that we piece the entire story together. But at one point, Pilate's wife comes out and tells Pilate to have nothing to do with that just man. What just man? Pilate's wife hadn't been in the judgment hall. Pilate's wife didn't have any idea who was on trial. She had no idea what the accusations were that were being made. She didn't know what his name was. She knew nothing about it. She had been in bed, sleeping, where Pilate wished he was, because it was the middle of the night when they brought him here. And she comes out at one point and she says to Pilate, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things in a dream this night because of him." What exactly her dream was, what exactly happened to her, there's no record. But she woke up scared. She had had a nightmare. Now, I understand nightmares. I used to have them all the time when I was a kid. And my kids get them. And I think probably everybody who's in this room has had nightmares, and you know what they're like. And you wake up in the morning and you're shaking so bad, you don't even know what to do with yourself. But most people outgrow nightmares when they become an adult. It's mostly a kid thing. If you have a nightmare, you might still have a dream that if it gets really, really bad when you're an adult, you might still wake up a little bit freaked out. But it's not very normal. It's mostly a kid thing. And here's this high up woman married to the big wig. And she wakes up freaked out over a dream she has. And she gets out of bed and she walks into the judgment hall. She knows because of her dream that somebody is there who's not supposed to be there. In other words, it was more than a nightmare. There was a reality to the dream. She didn't just dream something that scared her. But when she woke up, she realized there was somebody out there in the judgment hall that she needed to intercede for. And so she got up and she went out to Pilate and she told him, "Don't have anything to do with him." I don't know if she had said that at this point or not. But whether or not she had or hadn't, Pilate is a little bit fearful about what he is doing. It does not say in verse 8, when Pilate heard that, he became afraid. It says, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid. What was he scared about? Did he regard God? Did he regard man? Who was he scared of answering to? Well, the fact of the matter is, I know very well who he was scared of answering to, and I don't need the Bible to tell me here in this passage, because I've read the rest of the scriptures and I know exactly how the heart of man works. And though this man was a very irreligious man, he was a very wicked man, and he is not in heaven today, unless he repented later and it's not recorded in the scripture. He was a very wicked man. But the fact of the matter is, this man was scared of God. Just like every other human being that walks the face of this earth, scared of God. We try our best to deny it. We do everything on the face of the earth to pretend there is no God, or that he isn't the kind of God we should be scared of, but we're all scared of him to a lesser or more degree. The more hardened we get in sin, and the further we resist the things of conscience, the less fear we may have toward God. But we all have a certain amount of fear towards God. It's why books appear on the market like The God Delusion. Why did Richard Dawkins write The God Delusion? Can anybody tell me? How many of you believe that he was trying to undo the mystery of Buddha and free people from Buddhism? You know what I think? He's scared of the God who wrote this Bible. And he's trying to convince himself and the rest of the world that he doesn't exist because he wants some peace. He wasn't writing about idols. They're not worth writing about. He's writing about the God of heaven who controls his life. And Pilate here had the same fear.
I do find that interesting. In speaking about atheists, I have never once heard one of them answer to any other God except the God of the Bible.
That's right. That's the only one worth talking about.
They don't argue against the God of the Torah.
the real one, the real God. They will do it. They have to do it to look sane. But the fact of the matter is, if we could get rid of the Bible and we could prove from science and other things beyond the shadow of a doubt and eradicate Christianity off the face of the earth so that everybody on earth knew for a fact that this book was false and God didn't exist, there would be no atheists left anymore. There would be it wouldn't matter anymore if they believed there was or wasn't a God. There would be no issue. Because the other gods don't matter. Why do they do that? Because they know it does. Is so ridiculous for a person to spend an entire life beating against the air. So ridiculous. Some atheists devote themselves to atheism the same way that I devote myself to Christianity. They will spend a lifetime trying to convince the world there is no God. Why not just rest in peace if there's no God and go about your life? Well, when Pilate gets scared again here, verse 9, he went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and I have power to release thee? Did Pilate have power to crucify Jesus? Did he? But you know, that is the truth. He didn't. But you know, Jesus didn't even put it in those words. He said, Jesus said, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. True. Now, the fact of the matter is, God has ordained authority, has given us commandment as Christians to submit to authority. God had ordained Pilate's seat and Pilate's place of authority. Though he did not approve of or like the life Pilate lived, he had put Pilate's position there and he had put Pilate in that position. And because Pilate was in that position, Jesus admitted to Pilate that he had the power to crucify him because it was given to him from above. Though actually, Jesus says, in another gospel it is recorded, Thinkest thou not that I can pray unto the Father, and presently he would send me 12 legions of angels? And I would dare to say that those 12 legions of angels who could have appeared at Jesus' side instantly could have gotten Pilate killed so fast. He could have been disintegrated. He could have disappeared. If you want to think of a gunshot, and think about the difference between a gunshot and how fast the angels could have taken Pilate out, a gunshot becomes a kid's toy. In that respect, Pilate had no power, except for the fact that Jesus was submitted to him. Because right now, this was not the will of man that was happening. It was the will of God. You notice, most often, the will of man and the will of God are very different. But in this situation right here, they had come together for a moment in time. What the people wanted and what God wanted was the same thing right now. But Jesus says, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Who is he that delivered me unto thee? Who's he talking about? I seriously, honestly don't know if he was referring in this situation to a very specific person like Judas or the high priest, or if he was referring to a group of people, or he was certainly referring to Judaism versus Gentiles. He was referring to the act, the hatred of the Jews in bringing him to Pilate when they knew everything, had the scriptures, had the knowledge of God, had the prophecies of Christ coming. They had no excuse. Pilate had no excuse either, but he had a bigger excuse than the Jews had. And you guys pay close attention to this, because if you are a Christian and you've got the Bible in your hands, or if you are a young person who grew up in a Christian home with parents trying to teach you what is right, you are going to face judgment at a higher standard than the rest of the world is. You're going to. You can't get away with things that the rest of the world can get away with, because you know better. That's why I believe, I've preached on this numerous times, and I believe this to be the actual truth. When Paul wrote that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, he was not lying. He was not being overly humble. He was not making a statement about himself that was false when he called himself the chief of sinners. He was telling the truth when he put himself in position at the bottom of life for sinners. He was telling the truth. The reason he was telling the truth is not because he had committed more crimes than anybody else on earth, but it was because what crimes he did commit under the light that he had put him in position on the bottom of the level of sinners. Some people grow up in Christian homes, and they like to, lots and lots of young people growing up in Christian homes, have trouble coming to Christ and having a full understanding of salvation. And there's a very, very, very simple reason why. You can't come to a full understanding of salvation until you come to a full understanding of sin. It's absolutely the first step. You can't be saved from being a good person to being a son of God. You have to be saved from being a sinner to being a son of God. And as long as you're going about your life not admitting your sinfulness, the Bible says that people who confess their sins get their sins forgiven. It does not say that whoever hides or denies their sins gets their sins forgiven. And you young people can grow up in a Christian home believing, I'm better than the rest of the world. The people in school are taught evolution and they believe it, and I never did. And the people in school, they play with drugs and when they get a little bit older, they get drunk and they try out cigarettes. And I never drank any alcohol in my life and I never smoked any cigarettes. And the people in school, they swear and they tell dirty jokes. And my mom and dad didn't let me do that. I'm better than all of them. And you know what? God looks down from heaven and he looks in the life of Joyce. I'm only picking on people in the back rows from now on forward. He looks in the life of Joyce when she's a naughty little rotten brat at home. And he knows that she had a Bible before she could read. And he knows that since she could read, she was made to read the Bible. And he knows that her mother trained her into God's law, what was right and what was wrong. And he looks at Joyce, knowing the full subject of the gospel and of the death of Christ and of sin and salvation. And he sees her selfish and fighting with her brothers who are better than her. Probably. Boys are better than girls usually, aren't they? Just kidding. And he looks at that and he says, where she is with the light she has doing that sin is 10 times worse than all the kids in town at the high school. What she's sinning is much worse than anything that's going on in school right now. Because I gave her so much more and she rejected it. The pride that goes through churches and the pride that runs in Christian families. The pride that comes in young people's hearts who believe themselves in some way to be better than the people around them because of the advantages they have. And the advantages that you have as a young person, if you grew up in a Christian home, only make you a bigger sinner. That's in this verse. The Jews were greater sinners than Pilate because they had greater advantages than Pilate. They had more training. They had more teaching. They had the knowledge of God. They had the Word of God. And Pilate was from another nation. He didn't know the religion of God. I'm not going to go any further tonight. We'll be in verse 12 next time. Does anyone have any further comments they would like to make? Anyone want to stand up and confess their sins right now? Then let's dismiss.